Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
This episode of Amateur Traveler is sponsored by DK Eyewitness Travel Guides. These colorful guidebooks are filled with great information and are one of my favorite guidebooks. I have 25 of them right here on my bookshelf. Learn more at dk.com. I got my bags packed on a roll. I'm heading out there and I'm ready to go. Looking real good in my passport photo. Amateur Traveler, episode 457. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about beaches and scuba, street food, and one of the world's smallest primates as we go to Cebu in the Philippines. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. We'll hear more from our sponsor later on, but first, let's talk about the Philippines. I'd like to welcome the show Tomo and Megsi from $5planet.com, who have come to talk to us about the central part of the Philippines. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks for having us.
And I should say $5planet.com is a new travel podcast. So if people are not getting enough from Amateur Traveler, hopefully you'll fall in love with Tomo and Megsi and can check them out. So when we say the central Philippines, we said that in part because I chickened out and couldn't say the name of the region that we're talking about. What is the region we're talking about and why should we go there?
Well, we're hoping we can pronounce it correctly as well. Visayas is the central group of islands in the Philippines. And specifically, we're going to talk about Bohol, Cebu, and Negros, which is three of those main islands in that region that we visited. And I think the main reason you should go there is it's just tropical paradise. It is your postcard perfect tropical paradise. The beaches are pure white and the people are so friendly, and you can just sit on the beach and eat a meal, have a drink with your toes in the sand.
The water is actually that crystal blue color that you see. It hasn't been photoshopped. It's amazing. And it's really a fantastic place that you can do a lot of water sports pretty much most of the year round because it's so tropical there. It's always good weather.
Well, yeah. And I listened to some podcasts that actually are now based in Cebu in particular because they could work anywhere and they chose to be in that part of the world just for that reason. So
it is stunning.
So we're not in, for instance, we're flying probably through Manila, which is more of a chaotic big city.
Yes, but still an adventure.
It's
still
exciting.
Well, definitely an adventure, I would say. And we've talked about it on another episode of Amateur Traveler, and we'll probably talk about it again. And then we're catching a flight down to where here?
The easiest mode, like the main hub, if you were going to the Visayas, would be Cebu, because they actually have international flights coming in from other countries as well. So, for instance, we actually flew out to Cambodia. They have flights out of Cambodia. They have flights to other parts of Southeast Asia. You might not get a flight there from the US. So if you're coming direct from the US, you would be going into Manila and then getting a flight with someone like AirAsia that would take you down to Cebu or Talabigaran, I think you might pronounce it that way. And that's on the island of Bohol. Those are the two main transport hubs that you can fly to easily.
Okay. And let's say I had roughly a week to 2 weeks to explore the region. What kind of an itinerary would you lay out for me? What would you recommend?
Well, if you were coming into Cebu, then the first thing we would do, and this is going to be the controversial thing that some of your listeners will be like, oh my God, you can't go and do that. But we did it. We actually really enjoyed it. Just south of Cebu, there's a place called Oslob, and this is where you can go and swim with whale sharks. And the controversial element is that these are normally migratory animals, but in fact, the locals have started feeding them. they actually take quite good care of them. I know there's lots of different stories online, some negative, some positive. We were there. We didn't see any mistreatment at all. But you can just get in the water and swim around with a snorkel, and you're literally a few meters away from them. They're very docile. You have to be very careful not to touch them. But it's an amazing experience if you don't have a moral problem with it. And so there's arguments either side. It really helps the local community. That used to be a fishing village with no money, and now they've actually got money to support their families.
They're building new schools.
They're building schools.
And it's paving roads and stuff like that.
And let's clarify some of the moral elements here, because it is a good question. First of all, they are still in the wild even though they're being fed?
Yes.
Okay.
They are free to leave whenever they like. Generally, it's the older whales that stay.
Yeah, you can tell that they're pretty old and they've been around for a while. So we kind of look at it as like they're getting a free buffet meal, all you can eat. And they just decided to stick around because they haven't been kicked out yet. So,
well, and usually those are the less controversial places where the animals are free to come and go as they please, and choose to stay is very different than some of the documentaries that we're seeing, for instance, about the animals in captivity and in the care and those sort of things. So that is towards the end of less controversial, at least, let's say that.
Yeah.
I know that my friends at Green Global Travel, for instance, would be okay with that, I think. So.
Okay.
And then when we say whale sharks, I think you just put the word shark and swimming with in the same sentence. So we should clarify that a whale shark is not a carnivore.
No, apparently the actual size, even though they have massive mouths, they're huge, but the actual size of their throat is about the size of a dinner plate. So they really can't get anything more down there than krill.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not going to be swallowing humans. And honestly,
and
they were
no
just...
teeth.
Yeah, it's just that sort of grill. It's not proper teeth.
Yeah.
It's just that sifting grill.
They're more of the whale and less of the shark.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Very much so.
I just wanted to make sure people had that. We've talked about them before on the show, specifically off of the Yucatan Peninsula, just north of the Yucatan. There's another place that you can go swim with whale sharks, so, or at least see them. Yeah. Excellent. What would we do next?
Well, we personally would head down towards Dumaguete, which you take the coastline down the island of Cebu from the city of Cebu. That's where the airport was. You keep following the coastline of the island down, and then you can catch a very quick ferry. It takes about 20 minutes across to the island of Negros.
So that was all there is to see in Cebu. We're done with Cebu.
The thing is, we personally didn't spend a lot more time there.
Got it.
So
okay.
I won't give recommendations for things we didn't particularly do. There's definitely some other stuff to do on the other side of the island. There's Mobol, which is a diving resort area, which was somewhere we looked at. That was one of our top three options to go because...
Highly recommended.
Yeah, another white sand sort of area with a lot of reefs and a lot of options for diving. And we're going to talk about diving quite a bit because that's where we learned to scuba dive in the Philippines, not at Mobol, but at Dumaguete, which is where we're jumping into now.
Excellent.
Yeah. So it's going to be a completely different experience if you go to Dumaguete because we've already talked about all these white sand beaches. But at Dumaguete, they actually have the volcanic sand. So you've got the black sand.
Okay.
And you've even got the heat from the volcanic activity coming out into the ocean. You can get in the ocean. It's like getting in a bath.
Yeah.
So,
really warm patches. But yeah, I think perhaps the beach line can be a little bit off-putting because of the black. But there's certainly some amazing diving to be done in that area. You just go off a little bit from the coastline and you have Apo Island, which is a fantastic spot to actually go and do. You can snorkel there as well, or you can go do diving, and you're going to get a lot of turtle spotting in that area, which is, if you've ever been underwater and you've had a turtle swim right up to your face, that's just one of those most amazing experiences you can ever have.
Well, and it's one of those things where they tell you not to swim close to the turtles, but apparently no one told the turtles.
Exactly.
They don't mind. They're quite happy to hang out with us.
It's one of those things if you're underwater with your air in your mouth and you're just trying to, like, not to squeal and because you still got to breathe air. It's like, very cool experience.
And as you're doing diving there, are you doing beach diving or are you going out on dive boats or?
For Apo Island, we went out on a boat, and then there's a whole bunch of sites around Apo Island. It takes maybe 40 minutes to get from Dumaguete, where we were at the Liquid Dive Resort, out to Apo Island.
Yeah.
So it's a nice day out. It really is.
Yeah, the dive resort was very cool because they actually, in order to do your certified training, they've got classrooms there, and then they've got a dive pool where you can do your practice runs.
Right.
And then they do take you to a beach where you can submerge in the water easily from the land, and you can, that's where you do your first dive. And then once you got a little bit more experienced and you're close to getting your certification, then you can hopefully get the choice to go out to Apo Island like we did.
And you say a dive resort, so it's built into the infrastructure of this resort?
Well, what it is, obviously, they've got the pool is in the resort.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
And when we say resort, I think obviously people listening might think, well, oh, it's going to be some five-star place. It's going to be really expensive. It wasn't at all. This is a place that's set up for people who aren't looking for a five-star experience. We were staying in a wooden hut outside.
It's those cute little bungalows that yeah. are quite common all over the Philippines that you get.
Yeah, so you've got the thatched roof and you've got the like bamboo balcony out the front, like a deck. It's really sort of rustic, but there's definitely more than enough stuff that you need. And we were paying somewhere around $30 to $40 a night US for that okay. room,
nice.
Plus then the cost of the diving course, which right. was significantly less than you'd pay in the US or Australia.
Yeah, and it's all completely safe to do. It's actually, this particular place was owned by a Canadian and British couple who had come out to the Philippines, fell in love, and decided to open a resort there. They're raising two kids there. And actually, his parents came out from Canada and is living there as well. Everyone's fallen in love with the Philippines.
Yeah. And all the instructors are brought in from abroad. They're all yeah. properly certified. It's a five-star
Dutch,
standard
English,
paddy resort.
Everything.
And yeah. I assume you've done scuba diving elsewhere since then.
Yeah, we yes. went diving in Cambodia as well.
Okay. And other than the turtles, anything else that was particularly memorable about these dives?
The reefs are just absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. Like we said before, the crystal blue waters just make for such perfect
vision.
Yeah,
the visibility
vision.
Is great. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of other fish that you can spot. Lots of difference. If you're someone who's really into fish, then there's so many different varieties that are getting around there, and you'll also get some of your stingrays and lots of amazing coral, and it's really, I think we saw a couple of Nemos.
Yeah, we saw okay, a few
sure.
Nemos.
Clownfish.
I can't remember the official name, but yeah, it's
clownfish.
Well,
they're a clownfish. I don't know what the yeah. scientific name is, but
we'll call them Nemo fish because then
sure.
everyone knows what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the best thing is, even if you don't want to become certified, you can just go and do fun dives, and mm-hmm. it's a really nice place to get that first experience diving at an affordable price.
And then you said snorkeling was also an option for those who
yeah.
get a little more claustrophobic with the diving.
Yes,
absolutely.
Always snorkeling options in those sorts of places.
Excellent. This seems like a good time to pause and hear about our sponsor, DKI Witness Travel Guides. I'm looking right now at the Top 10 Buenos Aires Guidebook, which is part of the Eyewitness Travel Series. These are the smaller guides that are small enough to fit in the jeans back pocket and tend to focus on a city, in this case, Buenos Aires. It is not one top 10 list, but a series of top 10 lists. So top 10 things to see on Avenida de Mayo, top 10 things to see in the National Art Museum, top 10 things to see in the neighborhood San Telmo. I appreciate all the pictures and illustrations. I also appreciated that even after I've gotten through all the top 10 lists, I get to the end and I find the top 10 things to avoid, which is also useful to know. The top 10 guide also comes with a fold-out map to make it easier to navigate. This guidebook will be in my backpack tomorrow as I head down to Buenos Aires. With just 3 days in the city, we don't have time to see everything, and a good guidebook helps us make those decisions. Again, the DKI Witness Travel Guides are some of my favorite guidebooks. Check them out at dk.com. Anything else we should know about the resort or that area before we move on to your next stop?
I would say when it comes to Dumaguete, the experience you're going to get is this is a real Filipino town. It's not a tourist resort.
Okay.
So, yeah, unlike where we're going to go next, when you're in Dumaguete, you walk around, you're not going to see a lot of tourists walking around. You're just going to see locals doing their thing. You get to try some local food, hang out in a local bar if you want.
But a lot of these local places have opened restaurants and bars that are really quite funky.
Did you have a favorite local hangout?
The Tex-Mex restaurant.
The Tex-Mex restaurant.
The best food I've
we
had in a long
time. We spent quite a bit of time.
And really, Philippines is known for its Tex-Mex.
Yeah, they're not specifically known for it, but to be honest, they did a very good version of it for being outside of
the
US.
There was this wonderful bar called like the Blue Monkey or the
Blue Frog.
Frog or
it was
something.
Near the Tex-Mex place. So
and it was a really lovely place that just had lots of outdoor seating and just had a really nice atmosphere that you could hang out, and the staff were lovely. To tell you the truth, you can't go anywhere in the Philippines without the staff and the people being absolutely wonderful. And that's probably one of the most fabulous things about the Philippines, is that you just really fall in love with the people themselves.
Well, and since you said that this was more of a Filipino town rather than a resort town, is there any tricks in terms of the best way to meet and interact with the locals in town?
We actually couch surfed while in Dumaguete. So you might not think that that would be an option in the Philippines, but we actually did some Airbnb while we were there, and we also couch surfed. And this is the ultimate way to meet locals, because they'll take you to that little lady down the street who just has all these metal pots on a tray, and you just sort of go and look and choose whatever meal surprise happens to be in that pot. And it's always really good. Naturally, you've got to be careful and always make sure you eat before noon. I wouldn't recommend going to these places after that. But you can get a really great meal for a great price and a really nice local experience, because people will want to come up and chat to you and be like, hey, what are you doing here?
A lot of people speak English. It's very easy to sort of start a conversation with somebody.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if I asked you what was in that pot, are you going to put me off again and say we're going to go another way?
Some things in the pot you do not want to eat. Let's say that they do have a very special offal mix, organs. It's a you get what you get sort of stew with various different organs from pigs and maybe cows in there. And I don't know the name. I probably don't want to know the name, and I'm not going to recommend it. I didn't love it, but it was
okay. There's still plenty of vegetable dishes that you can get that's just made with the local produce that they have, and it's just kind of like stews that you'll have with rice or
chicken
curries and stuff like that. It's a lot. Yeah, a lot similar stuff to what you'd find in the little pots in perhaps Thailand, but just with a bit of a different flavor.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready to move on to our next stop,
then? Yeah, let's move on, because we've got so much food stuff we could talk about otherwise. We'll come back to a bit of that later. Okay, so as we're sticking to sort of like a one-week itinerary, we're going on to our final stop. You can get across to Bohol. There's going to be another ferry to get across to Bohol from the Dumaguete area. And you can head to Tagbilaran, or I can never pronounce it right. I think it is Tagbilaran, but it is the capital of Bohol. So that's the easiest way. You can just ask someone, where's the capital of Bohol? And they'll tell you. And right next to that city is this island that's attached by a causeway to Bohol. It's called Panglao. And on Panglao, you've got Alona Beach, which is probably the most famous beach in that sort of area. So this is going to be a little bit more touristy.
But it's beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
If you want to get your perfect sunset shot, that is the place to go.
Yeah, we got a few. It was really good.
A little more expensive than the place we were, you were talking about previously? Or?
Well, that's the thing. You've got the more expensive options there because it is more developed.
Sure.
But also, we stayed in a place where we actually got a motor scooter included with the room, which is, that's the only place ever, the Philippines, the only place I've ever had that, is included in the price of the room. It was 700 Filipino pesos for the room, which is going to be about $16 a night, I think. I mean, it's a little bit rough and ready. It was more like a hostel standard, but we did have a private room for two people and a motorbike for that price. So just to say, if you want to get something cheap, you can do it. If you want to pay $50 a night, you'll get something really nice. Probably without a motorbike, though, because they'll expect you to take a taxi if you're paying that sort of price.
Yeah, excellent. There's every sort of option there in that area, from your five-star to your cheap and cheerful. Yeah. It depends what you want to spend, but it's a fantastic area. And as we said, it's another one of those places where you can just sit on the beach, have your dinner, listen to the Filipino bands, because I don't know if people know this, but Filipino bands are amazing. They're like some of the best singers you'll ever hear. And you can just sit there, enjoy a cocktail, have a meal, and just watch the moon rise over the water. Yeah. It's fantastic.
And what style of music were you listening to? Filipino pop?
Journey.
They like Journey. Okay.
And a lot of Lionel Richie.
Yeah. It's a lot of international tunes in that area because, of course, they're trying to cater to tourists.
Sure.
Because it is that little bit more touristy. But, I mean, compared to the other places that we've talked about, this is the place where you have your chairs and tables on the beach with your restaurants, and you can just sit there and have a meal listening to the waves. And that's great. I mean, for chilling out at the end of your trip, if you've had a few days diving and pretty active time, then it's amazing.
Excellent. And I should say, we talked about swimming with whale sharks, and don't worry about that. That's really safe. On the other hand, that motorcycle, that's really how tourists end up actually getting injured on vacation.
Yeah, at your own risk, of course.
Right.
We'd already done quite a bit of motor scootering around Asia before we got to the Philippines, so we're a little bit more confident with it.
Yeah, like with anything, it's just one of those things that you really have to keep your wits about it.
Right, exactly. Especially if you're not used to it. Yeah.
No, if you haven't done it before and there's no sort of requirements, it's like, have you got a driver's license? Yes. All right, here's the bike. Or they might not even ask for a driver's license. So really, unless you're confident on a bike, we wouldn't recommend to just do it. There's lots of other options for getting around with taxis are very cheap.
Yeah. Actually, in this area, it was one of the places where we were actually leaving and we had our backpacks on and we were walking to catch a jeepney, which is their brightly colored buses that they have.
Yeah, it's like a minibus thing.
But this guy on a motorbike turns up and asked if we wanted a lift and we were like, do you have a friend? And he was like, no, you'll all fit on here. And so he put my backpack between his legs. I squeezed in between Tom and the driver. And then Tom got on the back with his backpack and off we went, a merry little threesome riding along.
Yeah.
It was just insane. Another thing I probably wouldn't highly recommend to people, but
it is the way much of the world gets around. If you've never been passed by a family of four on a Vespa, you just haven't lived. So
exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting when you do it for yourself, though, because it's not something we've done very often, even though we've seen it. So now we can say we have been Southeast Asia.
I survived.
We did it. We lived. Just.
Excellent. Are there other sites that we would see in the area? It sounds like we're mostly seeing beaches. So
yes.
Well, no cultural sites or museums or things, historical sites or things like that as well.
Well, one of the main things you'd go to once you get to Bohol is you can go and visit the Chocolate Hills, which is these strangely, it's almost like little Christmas puddings. They're like little dome hills. And they're normally covered in grass, so I'm not sure where the chocolate name comes from.
They do from their heritage as well. They do have a lot of churches around there. Sure. The Philippines have the largest population of Roman Catholics in the world, I believe, and they have churches to go along with it from previous occupations. Sadly, when we were in that area just after the earthquake hit in 2013, and a lot of these churches had actually been damaged quite severely. But that is something you can do. You can go around and check out the churches of the area.
Yeah, not all of them were destroyed, but a few of the important ones were, which is very sad.
And of course, one of the major things is the wildlife there is. There's a little critter who lives there that you pretty much can't see anywhere else in the world but there, and I think maybe Indonesia you can see him, and that's the tarsier.
And I don't know that I know that animal.
It's like this tiny little tree rodent with giant black eyes the size of ping pong balls.
So like a lemur.
It looks like, you know, like a little gremlin.
Yeah, okay.
But when they're cute.
Okay. Before you put water on them. Okay.
Before you put water on them. Exactly.
Smaller with bigger
eyes.
That's
what they look like. And they're the cutest little things that you'll ever see.
Yeah. And they are so tiny. They really are like the size of your hand, maybe, or even a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to see them, but there's a sanctuary there where they know they've got a few. And the guys who work at the sanctuary go out in the morning into this sort of semi-wild area. They find them, they spot them. And because they don't move around a lot during the day because they're nocturnal, then they'll be able to take the tourists in later. And you go in really quietly and they say, right, there's one up there, so you will be able to see it. So I think we managed to see two whilst we were in there and got some really cool photos. Yeah, they're so cute. They are actually sort of violent. We won't talk about their violent history.
They're very territorial.
They're very territorial. They won't be violent towards human beings, but towards other members of their species, they are actually a little bit aggressive. So their cuteness is a disguise, I think.
Excellent. Anything else we should talk about in terms of this final stop before we get on to the food that you have been promised me here?
You can go and visit the city of Tagbilaran, the capital, because it's only about a 15-minute taxi ride from the beach area where you'd probably be staying. So you go and have a look around the city. It's not the most interesting city, but as it's there and as it's a transport hub, and as I said, there's an airport there, so this is an excellent place to exit from as well. So you've done a one-way trip, pretty much. You don't have to go back to Cebu. Yeah, it makes it.
But if you are confident on the motorbike, it really is just a place to just jump on and let loose and just go and explore, because there's just so many different little beaches that you can head down to and see families swimming and having picnics and just doing everyday family stuff, but it's
and are these beaches that are just kind of unnamed beaches? Can't even tell. Okay,
can't even name them.
Yeah, there were a few little places we just went. Okay, there's a track going off to the left. Let's just drive down the track and see what's there. And we get there, and it's literally sort of three Filipino people sitting at one end of the beach and an empty beach, which compared to the main beach, which has got 40 restaurants, a bunch of boats, and hundreds of people on it, people just don't bother leaving the main beach. And if they do, they get this whole place to themselves, which is amazing.
Stunning area too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shall we talk food now?
We should talk food now, yes.
It's my favorite subject.
Let's start with the nice food first before we go on to the weird food.
Okay.
Okay. I think my favorite thing in the Philippines is the lechon, which is like a whole suckling pig.
Uh-huh.
You might have seen this on Anthony Bourdain if you ever watched his episode on the Philippines. And it is just the crispiest, crunchiest, crackling skin ever. It's amazing. I mean, I'm sure everyone out there listening will be like, no, the place near me that makes the roast suckling pig does amazing crispy skin. But this is the best one I've had. I had it a few times in the Philippines, and it's just been really good. So you see the whole pig, and it's just completely perfectly brown. You can see them roasting it.
They're very proud of their lechon in the Philippines.
Yes, they are. And they serve it up. They sort of break all the bits off with the meat, and then you can put like a bit of lime on it. And you pretty much just eat the meat up as it is. You got some rice on the side, and it's great. It's just great on it. So it doesn't even need that much seasoning. It's so awesome.
Okay.
It's probably going to be quite a few locals calling in about this one, because we're going to call it chorizo, and I know it has another name. I'm so sorry. It starts with L, I believe. I can't remember it at the moment. It's just like the chorizo that you would buy in the stores in most Western cultures, but this is a little bit sweeter to taste, and it's a lot less spicy than some of the versions that you might have had previously.
It's sort of got quite a soft texture to it. When you buy chorizo in Spain, it's often quite firm, and this is really quite soft. And they make them in these, it's almost like balloon animals. So you see like this group of balloon animals hanging outside each shop, and it's just these tiny little mini sausages that are maybe like an inch long, and you have like 50 of them in a bunch, and they're bright red. And so you can't miss it when you're walking around the streets. And of course it keeps well, just like chorizo keeps well anywhere else. So the fact that they've got it out in the heat shouldn't put you off from eating it, because it will have kept. It won't give you food poisoning. You'd be very unlucky.
Now, when you say that name, I'm thinking of a Mexican sausage, which is a very spicy sausage.
Yes. So it would be very similar to that, because the chorizo did come from the Portugal-Spain area originally, as far as I'm aware. So anywhere in South America that has it, it will be similar. But yeah, maybe they make it more spicy in Mexico, but in the Philippines, they make it quite mild, but delicious, especially if they roast it up on the barbecue for you. It's just perfect. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the weird food for them. For the Filipinos, they love this because this is on every street corner. And when we travel, we always like to try out a local food that maybe most Westerners haven't tried.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we give it a bit of a go, see what there is. And balut is the one in the Philippines that they eat it just like eggs, but this is a boiled egg that has a duck fetus inside.
Ah, okay. Uh-huh.
So it's a fertilized egg. It's around 16 to 18 days old, typically.
Right.
And then they steam it or boil it, and you crack it open. You put a little bit of chili vinegar on it and a little bit of salt. And then it's sort of the skin.
You take it forms. Like a shot.
Oh, you can take it like a shot if you want. Or you can sort of just pick it apart. And the bones and the beak of the duck are inside. So it is a little sort of chewy. It's protein heavy. It's very, very strange. It's probably an acquired taste. If you grew up there, you might enjoy it. I would call it a very funky boiled egg.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't incredibly horrible to taste. It just was a little funky.
Yeah.
But they do love it. We would go down the shop and pick up a pack of chips for a snack, and they head downtown and pick up some duck fetus eggs. So it's really quite interesting how much all the locals love this dish.
Yeah, if you see some guy standing on a street corner with like a cart where he's got something covered over that's maybe got a bit of steam coming out the sides, it's probably full of these eggs, and they're going to cost you like 20 pesos, which is maybe 50 cents or something.
Uh-huh.
So it's a really cheap, affordable snack that you might not want to eat, But we did. I wouldn't eat it again, but it was an experience. So if you're there and you want the real local experience, you do have to try it.
Excellent. What is going to surprise me besides the duck fetus eggs?
I think just the stunning beauty. Okay. It's amazing. I had a lot of Filipino friends that I used to work with when I worked on cruise ships. And so many of them were like, Meg, you're doing all these travels. When will you come see me in the Philippines? When are you coming to the Philippines? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll totally get there. And then when we actually made the decision to go there and my feet actually touched the ground, I was just in awe of the place, of A, the beauty of everything from the mountains to the beaches to the wildlife, but then also on the flip side, the beauty of the people. They are incredibly generous, incredibly nice people. And when they say it's more fun in the Philippines, they're not kidding. It really is a great place. Yeah.
And I would say that a lot of people have probably, more people have been to Thailand than they've been sure. to the Philippines. Yeah, so true. If you wanted to make a comparison, I would say the service is like twice as helpful and friendly, which is amazing. If you've been to Thailand, you know people there are really friendly and very helpful. So we're saying like double that. And the beaches, even that, I'd say better than beaches I've been to in Thailand. And also, I think the honesty, maybe these are the most honest people on the entire planet. We did find a lot when we're in somewhere like Thailand, Cambodia, you've always got people trying to sort of charge you way more than the products are normally worth. You've got to barter a lot to get the right price. And in the Philippines, it just didn't happen. We really didn't have to barter with anybody. They would ask us what price we wanted to pay. And we'd quote some, well, we knew what the prices were because we've been there for a while. We'd quote some ludicrously low price and they're like, yeah, that's fine. Okay, let's go.
Get in.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, here you go. Here's your shirt. And like what? We're just so not used to it. When we visit countries like China and India where they'll say like, oh, you want to buy this bag? It's $300. We're like, no, it's like $10, right? But in the Philippines, you say $10, they go, okay, ma'am, okay, sir. They call everyone ma'am and sir all the time. Yeah. It's really, really cute.
You have to get used to that. It's like, yeah, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And there'll also be people to like open the doors for you at the shopping centres, at McDonald's.
And, yeah, McDonald's.
You know, there'll be someone standing on the door to open the door for you.
It's crazy. Never seen it anywhere else. Yeah, it's like concierge service everywhere you go. Even at a street food cart, they'll be calling you sir and ma'am and doing anything. They'll help
nice.
You. They'll just
you
help
you. You get used to it. You're like, oh, I like this.
What's one warning you would give?
I suppose something we mentioned earlier that we should clarify about being able to go any time of the year. Actually, during the wet season, which sort of peaks around September, October time, I believe, although there is a little bit before and after as well. They do get typhoons that are quite serious. And we were there, we'd actually moved to Palawan, which is another island, by the time the typhoon came. So we were a little far away from the epicenter. But that did actually hit Cebu and some of the other islands on the eastern coast. And there was quite a high death toll for that one. I'm not going to quote an exact number because I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure it was in the thousands. So you really do want to avoid going to the Philippines in those few months where it's very high typhoon risk.
Okay. Also, if you're going to be, like we said, flying into Manila, that is definitely a high density city. There's a lot going on. There's certain, as with any city in any country, there's certain areas of town you probably wouldn't want to walk down the street alone at night.
Sure.
But also watch your pockets. It's one of the main things. But you get that in big cities. Yeah. So it's just about being sensible as you would anywhere in the world.
Yeah, the people are friendly. They're not confrontational. So you're unlikely to be mugged. You'd have to be very unlucky. But pickpocketing is probably the most likely problem that you'd see. And that is mainly in somewhere like Manila. The smaller towns, just you really don't get a sense of any crime going on at all.
You mentioned the locals, the friendliness of the people. Who's the most memorable local you met?
I'm going to mention Michael because he's the couch surfing host we had in Dumaguete.
Uh-huh.
And he's completely insane, but in the best possible way. And so he took us around the town. He was the one who forced us to eat balut. We were sitting in the bar and he was like, oh, my friends, I just go. I'll be back in 1 minute. And he comes back with all these balut eggs. And I was like, okay, now you have to eat it.
He's the one that took us out for that weird kidney liver
he got us the kidney liver dish.
He was just ready to take us on a roller coaster. He's like, oh, you want to try local? I'll give you local. local. He was very entertaining.
He lived in this crazy house on the outskirts of Dumaguete, which had like 5 bedrooms. And he said, oh, I live here because it's so cheap because someone died here. So I get the rent really cheap.
Yeah.
And now I have couch surfers coming every week. I'm like, do you tell everybody that this is like someone died here a couple of years ago? It was a very strange place, but it is so memorable just because it was curious and odd. And he had such a personality and he was so excited to have people there. And yeah, he's very interactive. We like that. Who are you going to say?
We were sitting down on the waterfront and this grandmother and her small little grandchild walked up, and I think she would have been about 2. And the grandmother came over to us and was like, oh, can you point to your belly? And the little girl pointed to her belly and she's like, can you point to your head? And she pointed to her head and she's like, can you point to your toes? And she bends over and points to her toes. And the grandmother just said, she's like, in the Philippines, we're very poor and don't have much, but we are very happy and we love our family. And I was like, oh my goodness, that just stuck with me. And so I gave the little girl a whole bunch of cookies because that's all I had on me. I was like, yeah, have all my cookies. But it was just something that really stuck, that even though they are quite poor in many regions, they really just make the most of life and they are really just, yeah.
Yeah, and we saw a lot of that because the earthquake had happened quite recently. Some of the houses we were driving past were just completely ruined. And you just think these poor people,
they
already didn't have much. They already had like 10, 15 people probably living in a small shack, and then it's just been destroyed and they are just living under a tarp.
But even so, they're still the happiest people you'll meet.
Yeah. And yet to have those problems and yet be so happy and friendly to tourists. Amazing. Yeah.
You're standing in the prettiest spot in the central Philippines. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
Well, actually I'm probably under the water, but
yeah, it's not on land. It's underneath.
But on land,
underneath
it is
the water.
It is beautiful as well. But no, at Oslob, there was right close to where the whale sharks, where you go swimming with them, there's actually a pier. And you just look out over the crystal water that's really shallow and you can see all the rocks just underneath. And it's just that perfect blue. And you just think, this is what paradise looks like. This is exactly what paradise looks like. This is the sort of place that I want to spend a lot more time.
Yeah, you can see other islands off in the distance and you can see people with their fishing boats and people at the shoreside. And
it does sound like a cliche because I'm sure everyone comes on the show and goes, oh, the beach was so beautiful. But
the beach is so beautiful and the people are so friendly. Yes, we do get that once or twice, but that's the reason why people pitch different destinations. Yeah. They fell in love with them. So
I would just like to remind the listeners to the show, we've been to over 75 countries in the world now. So it wasn't our first trip to beaches, but really genuinely, this is our favorite beaches of the world have been in the Philippines. And second place would probably be like the Whitsundays in Australia. So yeah, we're not exaggerating just how awesome it is to see that water and be there. Yeah,
excellent.
Perfect.
One thing that makes you laugh and say only in the Philippines.
They love Christmas there.
Oh, yeah, that's
they
right.
They love Christmas. Someone told us that they celebrate Christmas for like 4 months of the year.
Or longer. September till February is what we heard.
And so you'll get into a jeepney and they will be rocking out the Christmas tunes like full blast. And it's just,
we were there in October.
Oh, yeah.
It was full blast Christmas tunes in almost every single bus that we got on. And all the stores are full of Christmas stuff, like mid-late October. It's way beyond.
Pink Christmas trees and whatnot. And you're just like, oh, my goodness. They love Christmas so much.
Well, one reason might be it's a tradition, as I understand it, for employers who employ people, even VAs, virtual assistants in the Philippines, but also local employers, that you get your 12-month salary and then basically you get another month's salary at Christmas. Basically as a thank you. So you basically figure out what you're going to pay somebody and you divide it in 13 instead of 12 and then they get that extra month. So there's more extra money at that time of year as well. So that would probably add to the festivities as well as obviously the religious basis of the country. So
yeah, everyone just has a little more and cause to celebrate.
So. Sure, yeah. finish this sentence. You really know you're in the Philippines. You really know you're in Cebu, or you really know you're in one of these islands when what?
So many of the things we talked about already, I feel like our quintessential moments being called sir and ma'am by everybody, even someone running a street food cart. It's so Philippines, and you don't really get that sort of service anywhere else.
The Philippines is still similar to like a lot of Asian countries, so you have that noise, that hustle and bustle, that sound of Asia that just, you know that life is happening.
You've got the cockerels going off at 6 a.m. and you've got dogs barking often.
Yeah.
So it's
I think there's just a certain thing about just, I mean, I don't want to expand too much by just saying Asia in particular, but there's just a certain vibe in the air that you feel that you know you're in Asia. Like there's the smells in the air that are sometimes great and sometimes horrible. And then there's the crazy traffic going all around you. And as you said, people like families of five and six getting around on mopeds. It's like,
it is really that sense of safety. That sense that the people are going to be honest with you.
Welcoming as well.
I could in a soundbite, I could say it's the one country in Asia where I believe I can walk up to a taxi driver and ask for the price and they'll actually give me the price and not try and rip me off. It's like the only country in Asia I've been to. So I might not have woke up on a street corner and instantly asked for a taxi. But I know when I'm not having to fight for a barter every time that I go to a shop or that I go to a taxi, that I'm in the Philippines and not in Southeast Asia or other parts of Southeast Asia.
And if you had to summarize this region in just three words.
Bloody beautiful.
That's a true Australian answer.
And you have one word left.
Oh, we used it.
It's bloody beautiful. There you go. Excellent. Tomo and Megzi, where can people read about your travels or listen to your travels?
They can come on at $5planet.com, which connects up with our podcast,
that's
the $5 Planet.
Five.
With the number five, not the word five. It connects up with our podcast and also connects up with our blog, which has been going for well over 2 years now, the blog that is, not the podcast. So there's loads of content on there, and we help people to travel cheaper and discover travel freedom is what we're calling it these days. The art of traveling more often for a better price so that you can afford to travel more often. And hopefully, if you can earn some money online, which we're doing now, then you can travel even more often and support yourself.
You are not charging me $5 to come to $5 Planet, but you're telling me how to travel for $5.
Yeah, we actually talk about $5 food and fun experiences as part of the show, as well as talking about how to create an online income that can support a travel freedom lifestyle.
Excellent. Thanks so much for coming on The Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your obvious love for the Philippines.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us.
We hope to be back there in the last part of 2015. Hopefully by Christmas. For more Christmas music. That's the plan.
Excellent. And with that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. Pardon me as we skip over the community news, but I am traveling and have only a limited time to put this out. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. The transcript of this episode will be up in about a month and is sponsored by J-Way Travel, your experts in Eastern European travel. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris2X, and as always, thanks so much for listening. Cafe. I know that I should be heading home, but maybe not.